From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
All right, welcome back for another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair. Hope everyone out there is having a good week. Sarah, how are things these days? I know you're still kind of on the road to recovery here. What's the latest in your world?
Yeah. Well, basically, I found out from some healthcare professional friends and other people that have been on this prednisone steroid long term that I'm not crazy. Like, all the side effects, all the physical and mental side effects that I'm experiencing are common, unfortunately. But it got to the point where I haven't even felt comfortable driving a car in 2 weeks. And so Sean and I actually went out to play Cedar Hill, which is the pro course for the Music City Open A tier here in Nashville this weekend. And I was like, let me just throw some discs and see how things feel, see if I feel like I'm physically and mentally capable of playing in a big event. And after the first drive, I was like, no, like this is not really going to work. And then I just kind of thought about, you know, taking time off for this event plus Jonesboro and the women's nationals was like 36 hours of PTO that I put in for. And if anyone does disc golf as kind of like a side thing and is giving up PTO and money and travel and all that kind of stuff and going into events not feeling 100%, it kind of sucks. Like, you don't want to go into an event already knowing that you're probably not going to play really well. So I decided to make the hard choice of dropping out of the rest of my events for the year just because I do not feel prepared whatsoever. And it really stinks because I used to live so close to Winthrop and I've played that course casually before, and I was really excited for this special opportunity to play it competitively as part of the women's field, and I feel like I'm missing out on that, so I'm a little bit depressed about that.
Yeah, that is a bummer, and I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's just been 2020 got me. It started out really, really good. Even during quarantine, I felt like I was making the best of the situation, and then it kind of just reared its ugly head, and it got me too, like it's gotten a lot of other people. So I know this is just a temporary thing. My dosage gets stepped down starting tomorrow, and I hopefully will start feeling like a human again. But I just want to thank, I've had so many people reach out to me with support and kind thoughts and telling me their stories of also being on prednisone. I just want to thank all of you for reaching out. It's been really nice and comforting. So that's where I am right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you're not going to be going out and hitting the road, but hopefully you'll be getting back to some sense of normal, whatever that
yes.
is anymore.
Human, feeling like a human.
Yeah. Well, we are going to talk about a couple of those tournaments this week. We'll talk about Music City later on.
Yeah.
We will also talk about Women's National Championship. A little bit of media news came out from that today. Before we get to that, I don't want to forget. I want to give a shout out and a congratulations to PDGA. Director of Operations Mike Downs. He got married over the weekend. He's on his honeymoon right now.
Yay.
Probably listening to PDJ Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't listen to PDJ Radio on their honeymoon? So anyway, congrats to Mike and Whitney. Very nice. They kind of live streamed their ceremony on Facebook. Both Sarah and I got to see that, and that was nice to see the happy couple, you know?
Yep. Yeah, we were supposed to go to the wedding too, and I was like, I can't do it. So unfortunately, we weren't able to go. But I wish them all the best.
Yeah,
they're
definitely.
A lovely couple.
Definitely. Yeah. Hey, any marriage advice?
Take much needed breaks from each other.
Ooh.
I don't know. Sean and I are like wildly independent, which is why this has been very hard for me the past 2 weeks because I can't drive, so I'm depending on him for everything. Just have your own hobbies. Just do things separately so that when you're back together, it makes it all that more special.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk some news on the media front. We've got the two majors of the year coming up, USDGC and Women's National Championship. They will both be taking place at Winthrop University in Rock Hill, South Carolina. the weekend of October 7th through 10th. I guess it's technically week of. It's like Wednesday through Saturday is how they always do USDGC. And we know the Women's National Championship is going to be part of that this year. Very exciting. And they put out their media offerings today. So let's talk about that. It's built around live pay-per-view coverage, just like last year. And this year there's a few more kind of options built in. So just to give people frame of reference, last year it was $9.99, $7.99 if you're a PDJ member. That was for 3 days of just USDGC and like no post-production or anything like that. So important context as we go into this discussion on these packages, because you can go look at these packages and you're like, oh, these are more expensive. Yes, they're more expensive. But A, things in life don't generally get less expensive. And B, this is actually vastly more content than last year, if we're thinking about it. So,
I wanted to also I was also thinking too, I mean, from a business standpoint, from Innova, they're losing so much money on the spectators. So, I mean,
yeah, you got to try and make some of that up by not having spectators at the pro shop and everything this year. So there's three different levels of coverage: $19.99, $29.99, and $39.99. At the base level, $19.99, you're going to get yourself 4 days of live coverage, and this includes the women's national coverage and the USDGC coverage. So there's that part of it. You'll have access to that for 14 days. You get a membership to US Disc Golf, which honestly, I need to read up on that more because I don't know exactly what that means. So I'll look into that in a minute. And those are the main things for the $19.99. Basically, it's your base level. You're going to get 4 days of two divisions. Apparently, from some of the stuff I've seen, there's going to be like... So it's going to include feature and lead card and or feature lead card and then chase card coverage the whole time for USDGC and Women's Nationals. So that's awesome. There's also going to be a Disc Golf Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I got to give the lowdown on the commentary teams, which I'm there's a portion of this that's both of it's cool. But you've got... For the Women's National Championship, Hannah Macbeth is going to be joined by five-time PDJ World Champion Juliana Korver. And then for the USDGC coverage, Ian Anderson of Central Coast Disc Golf is stepping into the live booth, which is exciting.
I was excited to see that too.
With Philo Brathwaite, which is super rad. So obviously, we've talked about them on the podcast. They've been incredibly popular in the post-production role this year. And now they're doing live, which obviously means Philo is not playing, which,
right.
You know, he's performed pretty well at this tournament the last few years. I want to say he has a couple of top tens here the last couple seasons. So, you know, for him to step behind the mic instead of on the tee is definitely kind of a development. So, yeah, he came in sixth place in 2019. And in 2018, all right, 29th, not as good. I want to say 2017 he was top 10 as well, though. That was the Nate Sexton year, right? Yeah, fourth place. So, I mean, he's got two top 10s in the last 3 years, and he's going to do commentary instead. So I just think this is a really interesting evolution of where maybe his career could go. I've been waiting for a while for us to get some of these current players who are very, very talented at coverage to be able to maybe do some live stuff, but obviously they need to not be playing. So
we'll see
how that comes out, but I'm excited to check it out. Anyway, sorry, I'm diverging. So base coverage, 4 days, both divisions, $20. If you want to do $30, you get both days, or 4 days, both divisions, and you can access condensed coverage, which is essentially Central Coast Disc Golf style coverage through the USDGC platform the next day. So pay $10 and you can watch it live or watch it the next day. And then $30 is only limited to 500 people, so get yourself in on it quick. It's going to get you all that same stuff plus a commemorative USDGC disc, which USDGC is always putting in some different kind of packages like that for spectators and stuff. So this is kind of like their spectator package this year. Sarah, what were your thoughts on the USDGC media plan? What are you thinking?
I love it. I mean, it seems very like it's got all the different options. I really don't think the price points are all that bad for what you get. I mean, it is two majors that are running simultaneously, and yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
So I have found in the FAQ what is included in the U.S. Disc Golf membership. It says the U.S. Disc Golf membership includes, but is not limited to, discounts on future U.S. Disc Golf productions and exclusive tournament merchandise offers through October 2021. And it's a retail value of $10. You can visit usdiscgolf.com, except my browser does not want me to do that, so I'm not going to. but so that's a portion of it there. Yeah, look, I think... it's the only major of the year, and people who want to watch it are going to pony up to watch it, and I don't think it's a bad thing. The other component of this that we should talk about is, in addition to the USDGC's coverage through, I believe it's going to be on the USDGC website. That's where they did it last year. That's probably where it will be this year. Disc Golf Network is also going to be there providing some supplemental coverage. Sarah, did you see that as well?
I saw the PDGA just posted that a little while ago on their Facebook page. I didn't get any of the details, though.
So basically, it's cool. So look, here's the beauty of this. If you're already a Disc Golf Network subscriber, rad. You get some content, at least. Is it going to be the round coverage? Not necessarily, but you'll get basically like a pre-show, post-show type of situation. Recap of the Women's National Championship show. And like preview of the USDGC stuff. And they're also going to have some live coverage of hole 17. So really, worst case scenario here, you've already got Disc Golf Network. You just throw on hole 17 and watch people try and get that all day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch that.
Oh, I would watch that.
Like, I'm going to put that on one screen and the proper coverage on another. And I'm going to go nuts. It's going to be great.
Having played some semblance of that hole... It's tough, especially as you're coming down the stretch and you've got 18 ahead of you. Lots of pressure.
Yeah, it's scary. It can
get very exciting.
It's like one of the most scary. I mean,
it can ruin your tournament. Yeah,
it can ruin your tournament. Not just a round.
Yes, and it has.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we've seen that. Yes, I saw the This Is Disc Golf video the other day again, and it's got Johnny McRae.
Oh, no.
And
his, I know. I didn't
it's
even
very
say
hard
it.
To watch.
I didn't want to say it.
It's hard to watch. But look, it's not just him. Like, last year, I watched Chris Clemens throw, like, four in a row, missing that one last year.
Yeah.
And it happens. That's part of the drama. That's part of the allure of the USDGC. And, you know, look, it can make some redemption stories. Like, I would love to see Johnny McRae go back there and, like, win USDGC. Like, put those demons behind him. And he could totally do it. So
I did get kind of an update. Katrina and Austin are staying with us this week for Music City Open. And there's a lot of people that came down from the Northeast and kind of traveling this way and stopped at Rock Hill to play a couple practice rounds this past weekend. And they did that. And she was kind of telling me about some of the good changes that they've made for the women's course.
Oh, yeah.
So I know... Is it hole 15, hole 14 or 15 from the Coliseum downhill? There's like a shortened tee pad. That's kind of like
14.
Okay, 14. Yeah. It's like a birdie or die hole for the women. I mean, it is for the men too, but it's shortened so that got to get that birdie. But I don't think the layout is 100% set. Like, the course wasn't completely set up yet, but it seems like they're making a lot of parity from the men's layout.
Yeah, I know hole 13, I believe, was gonna have a women's tee as well. That's the famous
low scores
888 hole.
Yep, that one too.
So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot more on that coming soon. USDGC usually like a week before the tournament. We're still about 2 weeks out. So
yep.
13 days according to the counter on their website. So holy cow, like it's so weird. This has been the weirdest year.
Tell me about it.
Snuck up on me while also feeling like it took an eternity to get here.
And now it's almost over.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was very weird.
So anyway, you can get all the details on this stuff over at usdgc.com. And we got a couple weeks, so if you want to watch it and watch it live, save your pennies. I think the coverage is going to be solid. Like, they've done solid coverage there the last couple years. I would expect more of that to come. I do believe the team from Fulcrum Media is going to be behind it again, so that should be cool. And then you can also watch the stuff on the Disc Golf Network. And the one other piece of it that I saw confirmed today is, so this condensed coverage is like post round shot by shot coverage that's included in these packages for the first 14 days. After those 14 days, that coverage will be released on Central Coast Disc Golf's YouTube channel. They're the ones providing that. So if for some reason you want to wait, you can check it out on Central Coast. Also, obviously, UDisc Live will be doing the scoring there. UDisc Live is also going to be doing the Monday qualifying scoring, which I'm pretty excited about, because that was one of those things where I, for the last couple of years, always wanted to know who was going to qualify on Monday. I think that's one of the most unique, exciting things about USDGC. But half the time, we'd be like scrolling through random Facebook pages or waiting for someone to post a scoreport, you know, photo somewhere. And now it's going to be like, you can watch it in real time. So,
yeah.
And actually, I'm sorry, that's not going to be UDisc Live. It's going to be through UDisc's, like, league platform, essentially. But I think there'll be a redirect off of UDisc Live. Anyway, so a lot of good stuff coming up on the USDGC front. Speaking of USDGC, the Chains for Charity is up again this year, Sarah. We're going to have to, we don't need to do that this week, but you and I need to get a challenge going, I think, again.
Yes. That was fun last year.
On the donation front. So we are going to talk to the man behind a lot of that, Mr. Jay Yeti Redding. So let's take a break. We'll play my interview with Jay, and then Sarah and I will come back. We're going to break down the 2021 schedule. We're going in chronological order today, even though the news came out in reverse, but we're going to go in the order that's going to happen. And then we'll do a little more, you know, chit chat. So we'll be back here in just a moment on PDGA Radio. This episode of PDGA Radio is presented by Marion County, West Virginia. Experience some of West Virginia's best disc golf. With two courses of their own and more than 25 others within a two-hour drive, you can always be ready for a round. Top the day off with a renowned pepperoni roll, local craft brew, or a one-of-a-kind dessert, and you've got an ace. Come discover the middle of everywhere in Marion County, West Virginia. Visit marioncvb.com for more information. Welcome back to the show, Disc Golf Hall of Famer and educational disc golf experience co-founder, Mr. Jay Yeti Redding. Jay, how's it going, man? We haven't caught up in a bit. How's life treating you these days?
What's up, Steve Hill?
I love it. I was waiting for that at the outro, and I got it on the intro. Let's just end the interview now. No, I'm just kidding. How's it going, man? How are you doing?
Good, man. It's a good day. We're busy as all get out, and yeah, good to talk to you today.
Yeah, you too. I know we're going to talk some Chains for Charity and some USDGC, but before we get into that, you know, I think about you and Dez and how much traveling and just being out in the world of disc golf is normally part of your existence. So I'm just curious, what have you guys been up to now, given everything? What's your guys' situation these days?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, overall, 2020 can, you know, find its way right straight through the door. But I know I'm not alone in that consensus. So, yeah, man, I mean, we've been thriving and surviving in the current conditions. We just decided pretty early on. It was like, all right, you know, it's a big year for us. Des and I are actually celebrating 25 years of wedded bliss.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that'll be in October here, actually, right over the USDGC. So we're looking forward to that being a bright spot. But of course, we had some pretty extravagant travel plans for the year. It would have been our, you know, 21st consecutive year of touring around the globe. But wow. You know, given the situation, we really decided that, you know, we're going to maintain what is being asked, you know, and we kind of decided, all right, well, you know, and a lot of things got canceled, you know, one after the other. So it kind of made our decision pretty easy. But, you know, we've been pretty diligent and, staying home when the quarantine was actually really in place, and still to this day really are taking quite a few precautions that are being asked and just being a part of the solution. So we've been, for the first time in 18 years living in Texas, we have never left the state. And in June,
Wow.
July and August, I kind of know why I'm not here.
I was gonna say, it's probably a little different being there full time.
It was hot. It was hot. And we didn't break the record, but I think this was the second hottest number of 100-degree days. But it's been all right. We've been finding lots of things to do. I've been saying too, just to friends, like, hey, if this is what retirement feels like, sign me up. I've got so many things I want to do and read or do some things for myself that
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
yeah.
So I think about of all this in the context of Edge. A lot of what you guys do is getting disc golf into schools, into PE and stuff. And there are a lot of schools that are not, physically happening right now. So what kind of challenges are you guys facing on that front? And how are you working to get through all of them?
Yeah, the overall for Edge being a 501c3 nonprofit organization, everybody has been having to relook at everything that they've been doing. And charitable contributions are definitely one of the first things that get scrutinized. In fact, in a major pandemic health crisis, I mean, there are some charitable groups and people that need funding, way more than so many others. So, we've definitely respected that. But at the same level, disc golf has really proven to be, we know it's been kind of a sport and a game and a lifetime activity that really shines in times of economic stress. But, the social distancing aspect and things like that, we have seen so many new players, and this goes right into teachers who had quite a bit of free time that have discovered disc golf, that all of a sudden, they want to figure out how to bring the this great best thing since sliced bread, back to their teaching environment or just play more themselves. So the demand has been, great for everybody in the entire disc golf, mechanism. But on the Edge side, yeah, that same crux happens where, the teachers don't have funding to do some of the things that they'd really like to do. And then Edge, of course, is way down, and we run 100% purely on contributions. So as a 501c3, if money doesn't come in, we can't assist these teachers to meet the financial gap that they all have. So it's one of those catch 22 kind of both sides there. But the bright spots is that we are getting a lot of small contributions, people just kicking in 10, 20, 100 bucks where they can. We are seeing a late push here at the end of the season to where, we are having some people really start to come around and really support the growth that we're all watching, happen right in front of us. So yeah, it's been a struggle, but we're starting to get through. Funny little side tidbit is that I've done my first two, maybe the first ever, virtual Zoom teacher in services.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For disc golf being such a hands-on activity, I came up with a pretty cool strategy where we sent some single discs in early. Even the teachers had never had any idea, about disc golf. I sent them a one was, one district was up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and one district was down in the Houston area. So there was lots of courses available, and I went through UDisc and kind of pieced apart what beginner courses I thought would be very, friendly for a first-time player. Gave them some options, gave them a scorecard, gave them a short little list of little, quick basic rules, had them go out and play and just explore the game. All PE teachers are big kids at heart,
Oh, yeah.
so they love that kind of a challenge. And then we came into a a several hour session where we talked about their experience. Then I applied technique and different aspects of the physical education world to help them feel the confidence that, like, yeah, you can do this in your schools. The schools and districts are investing in equipment. They're going to be available for you to use. And then we had them go back out and do it again. And of course, now they had some skills to throw at it, and we had some, great stories come out of that. Really proved, I wouldn't say it's an amazing way to go, because we are so hands-on, and but it was really a fantastic fix for the situation that we were in. The teachers got continuing education credit. They learned a new lifetime activity. The districts bought into equipment that's there to be used and is being used right now. So, yeah, I trained over 45 in one session, and over 60 in another session. So,
Wow.
yeah.
That's great, man. Maybe you could, I mean, that's maybe that could be the retirement. Just do it from home. I'm just kidding. Leave selectively when it's hot. You go out and do the in-person ones elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good stuff. So, yeah, I kind of think about this, and I'm curious for your take, like, because on the one hand, we're seeing this whole incredibly exciting influx of players and energy to disc golf. And on the other hand, there's still this massive global crisis kind of going on. So like how do you kind of balance that in terms of your take on things and your planning for the future in what your outreach is maybe going to look like in the next year, 2 years, 3 years after all this hopefully, gets back on track.
Yeah, well, two different levels there. As on a personal level, I'm still a player. I'm still averaging, 24 events a year. And I've been playing lately. I've got 6 wins on 2020, but I'm doing it in a little kind of a safety zone. I've got a small RV, so I load it up with food and gas, and I get in that thing and I stay in it and I play the tournament and I get back in it, and it's kind of my own personal bubble. So that's been proven to be, pretty solid to for my competitive fix. On the future of the school side and stuff, one of the trends that we're really seeing is that campus course.
Yeah.
It's such a good fit for a school to put some targets permanently on their campus. And Finland did this really well, of realizing, like, yeah, they can't all be 9-hole or 18-hole courses, but even a 4-hole course, with maybe multiple tee pads, can be something perfect for that, what we're talking about here. And the way I always explain it to administrators is, the public school system is always looking for funding from the public. Not all kids have, or not all, adults, taxpayers have kids, but they pay into the school system because, they really want to have a good future for our children. And so as these tax bonds come up and they're always getting scrutinized, the school should always be looking for ways to involve the entire community, and not necessarily even just the adults with families. And so a disc golf course that is open to the public outside of school hours, just a phenomenal connection here, where people can see, they drive by a school and it's empty. That doesn't, breathe excitement. But you drive by a school after hours and you see people using the track, you see people throwing and recreating and playing disc golf. All of a sudden, the school, really becomes part of the community. So I think that's, to me, that's the future. And it's happening. Again, we run into some of the financial concerns there, because if there's really one thing, there's two things that I've discovered really out of this pandemic, is that, finally, I'm an educator, I have an educator background, but finally some more eyeballs and brains have been awoke to, teachers are held in the same regards as doctors and scientists. I mean, these are absolutely essential people. So, we need to pay them well. We need to treat them well. We need to give them the resources that they need to train the next generation of our society. And so I hope that that continues on. The other one's a negative, and that's that, the human being is a very selfish c complexion there. But we'll stick with the positive, and hopefully we can get some more of these type of things funded going forward.
Well, hey, speaking of funding, that's a good segue into talking about Chains for Charity, which is the annual promotion you guys do with USDGC. It's coming up again this year. So for people who aren't familiar, give us again the elevator pitch on Chains for Charity and what the goals are this year.
Well, the U.S. Championship has always been our main contribution source for Edge. Whether it was them selling fundraiser rocks, and then some of those great CFR type of discs, and the USDGC sponsoring the Edge Village. Where we're bringing in community schools to not only learn about disc golf on site, but then they get to watch some of the best, pros in the world play. So the championship's really been a phenomenal partner over the years. In fact, their contribution totals to Edge now are over $300,000, which, that's a big
Wow.
number. And you got to remember, Edge has been around now for 18 years. So,
That's tremendous.
It is tremendous. It is tremendous. And this year, with even more pressures of an event like this to be pulled off the way that everybody knows and expects that it will be under the circumstances, there's even more pressure there. But the championship builds great relationships and great partners. The PDGA has come in, and they've always supported Edge as well, and they're actually going to contribute $10,000 to the fundraising efforts of the
I
championship
did
towards
hear that. That's
Edge,
fantastic.
which is just it is fantastic. We might not otherwise have seen the USDGC produce for Edge like it has in the past, but with partners coming in and then folks participating in the Chains for Charity, we have a chance to make this something humongous and save 2020. So the Chains for Charity is a really cool little concept that we came up with, and we're partnered with UDisc. So it's one of those things where it's like, yep, we're all tuning in and watching the USDGC, and pay-per-view stuff has just come out, so everybody can watch this unfold live, plus the live real-time scoring through UDisc. And what a better way to connect yourself to the tournament
Right.
than besides just watching it, why don't you connect with your favorite players? And people have a chance to pledge an amount anywhere from 50 cents per what we call birdie point to even, if somebody wanted to do $100 per birdie point, they'd be our stratospheric kind of contributors, and it's all tax deductible. But basically, the birdie point revolves around kind of a point series to where a hole in one would get 3 points, three birdie points. An eagle would get 2 birdie points, and a birdie is worth a birdie point. And so you can watch in real time on UDisc as well as your player performs and racks up those birdies. The birdie points will show, and on one side you're like, "Yep, I'm every birdie that my player gets, I am going to contribute $1 to Edge." And but at the same time, you also want that player to win, so it's a win-win. Maybe you might be contributing a chunk of tax deductible dollars to Edge, and supporting your player there. And we've got some fantastic prizes too this year that I really hope that people take advantage of, because our sponsors have just come through this year big time. And I can talk about those if you're ready.
Yeah. Who you got? Let's hear it.
Yeah, well, for the third year in a row now, we have Innova Champion is contributing game used USDGC targets. So this is one of those
Oh, wow.
scenarios, yeah, where we're going to give a couple of them away. Actually, we're going to give 4 of them away this year. We've got one available for whoever has the most the participant that picks the player that has the most birdie points, the participant that picks the overall winner of the USDGC. We've got one for the Women's National Championship, and whoever's supporting their top birdie contributor, birdie points. And then we have also one, just everybody that's contributing to Edge through this promotion will have a drawing. And I usually do a live show, you know, afterwards, once people give a chance to pay to be eligible. But yeah, and then we also have Zuka carts this year. We've got some grip bags. We've got Disc Golf United, who have been putting out some just phenomenal merchandise. You know, we've got some gift certificates to those guys as well. So quite a chunk of things that, you know, we don't always look to be benefited when we give to charity. You know, we want you to give to the charity because you believe in the cause and the platform. But boy, it sure feels good to be kind of rewarded for, you know, your efforts as well. And, you know, if you look at the Chains for Charity Facebook page, which is where all the information is going to be, you know, updated on a regular basis going forward, you can see some pictures of past winners, and they've got iconic hole 17 in their backyard.
That's amazing.
That's or they've got, man. Yeah, last year, one of the guys was like, oh, I want number one, you know, Ken Climo throughout the first pitch, you know, and this is where it all starts, you know, and people have different holes that mean something to them, and this is your chance to grab a piece of that. So
yeah, so let me I want to jump in here. Number one, I want to let people know you can go to facebook.com/edgechainsforcharity. That's where you can follow the page, get the information. It also has the link to Disc Golf United on there, events.discgolfunited.com/changeforcharity2020. We can put this stuff in the description of the show as well, and that's where you can go donate. I want to mention, I don't want people, you know, obviously, you know, finances are tight, especially right now. So I understand if you can't donate, that's cool. But I do want to advise people, like, don't hesitate to worry too much about, like, oh my gosh, this person's gonna get 50 birdies and I'm gonna be poor. So James Conrad last year won the tournament 19 under par, and that, you know, he took a seven, at one point. So he probably had 24, 25 birdies or something. We're not talking insane numbers. I think I picked Eagle McMahon last year and ended up donating, you know, 25, 30 bucks, as a dollar contributor. I think I'm going to up that this year, but you know, that's the fun part. It's like you can support the charity while also cheering on your favorite player. It works out really nicely. So I'm a big fan. I'm glad you guys are back and doing it again.
Yeah, and I've got a little bit of insight on that. You're absolutely correct. Actually, Nathan Queen, even though he didn't win the tournament, he was our birdie points champion. So that's 30, where
35, it looks like.
35,
right?
That's right. And, you know, you can take our top 10 players and they're all right there just at about 28 to 35.
Yep.
So that gives you a kind of estimate there, and a good thing to pay attention to because there's some tiebreakers in there. We did have James Conrad, who was our USDGC champion and was gracious enough to autograph a bunch of Edge discs that we also used for prizes last year. He did one of his awesome juggling tricks with the discs, and then he ended up pulling out one of the discs for the flip, and it was heads or tails to see who won the target last year as a tiebreaker. So because they were also tied on their choosing the correct score, unbelievably. So it was a lot of fun on the live show last year, but really cool this year, you know, the Women's National Championship's involved. So we're going to have a separate pool just for the Women's National Championship. They're playing a little bit different course, and we want people to support the women as well.
Of course.
We're partnered with Throw Pink. And so we're dedicating a majority of the funds that get contributed to the Women's National Championship side. Edge and the championship are going to kick that to Throw Pink and their amazing women and girls initiatives of growing the game for women and focusing on health initiatives and getting the word out about things for women's causes.
Yeah, let's talk Women's National Championship and USDGC this year. Obviously, you know, you're a sports fan, man. I want to know some picks. Who you got to take it down in each division? It's going to be, I feel like this year, USDGC is always kind of tough to forecast for me personally. This year, especially given, you know, the uncertainty and maybe people not being in their normal tour flow and playing regimen. So that said, you know, who do you like to take each of these two majors that are running simultaneously?
Yeah, so the women's side, we've been enjoying watching their coverage on the Disc Golf Pro Tour all year. I mean, you know, Paige Pierce is a shining beacon right now of kind of the full package of the game. However, Katrina Allen, who I've felt over the last couple of years has been the most accurate driver off of the tee and most proficient, her putting kind of has come around a little bit. And I think if she can get her putting, you know, she's been working on it, I'm sure. She's going to provide a real challenge. So, you know, if I'm going to pick, I mean, I got to go with the thoroughbred of Paige Pierce just because of the season she's putting together. But Kat and a bunch of other women are going to give her a good run. And I'll throw a couple dark horses out there. Yeah. I think a couple pro women that really don't have, like, you know, this expectation that is constantly on their shoulder. I have a feeling maybe somebody like Haley King or Heather Young might put in another phenomenal performance and keep their name, you know, growing.
I love it. And how about at the USDGC? What do you like over there in that tournament?
Well, I just looked at the registration, so I don't know if I can pick people that aren't even signed up. I mean, Kevin Jones and Paul McBeth aren't currently on the registration scene.
No way.
You know, and that happens once in a while. Guys are on the road, and they've got so much going on in their life, but there is no excuses. I mean, it's about that time. So I guess I'm going to forego those guys for now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we got to get them on the list. People might want to donate to them for Chains for Charity.
100%. That's I'll call him out for that right there. Paul McBeth has been one of our leading contributors, and there's a chance for players to win some road cash for getting their supporters behind them. And, you know, Paul actually turned around and donated his winnings right back to charity and even helping out Hannah's mother 1 year as well. But in the men's side, you know, Calvin Heimberg has just really been impressing me. He also seems like it's all coming together for him. So he's one of my favorites, as well as Ricky Wysocki. I've been stoked about his health recovery, and it seems like he really made a big push and wanted it bad just the other week at the MVP. And now that he's kind of back into the area and he just took down a big tournament last weekend, I want to say momentum is in his court.
Oh, he loves that word too. He loves that word.
Yeah. Well, it's sport and sports momentum is everything. I mean, let's be honest. And that even in a game like football, where it's a constant, you know, Warriors chess match, momentum is everything. But my dark horses, I'm gonna throw out a couple of dark horses here that they're actually all former USDGC champions that I think are gonna show back up in the top five here. Nico LaCastro has been playing great this year.
Yeah, he has.
Steve Brinster, I think he is also kind of came into his age. You know, he's going to be a little bit older than some of these players. You know, his family is always behind him. And Jeremy Colling, man, he's going to follow that beautiful new grill all around the complex there. And I think it's going to bring him some good love. So,
all right. All right, man. Well, hey, before I let you go, actually two things, one disc golf related, one not. You were talking about football and momentum, and our Saints did not have a lot of it the other night. How are we going to right the ship? What's your quick fix for the Saints?
Well, the Packers are my second favorite team, so, you know, here comes matchup, and I'm hearing from all my Packer friends, and I'm telling them we need about two more weeks of practice. I mean, that was one of the sloppiest games I've ever witnessed. You know, the Saints have had a propensity to, you know, be prone to some penalties and things like that, but that was just ridiculous this last weekend. So I think if we can iron that out and figure out a way to fill our void with, you know, Michael Thomas not being out there, definitely limits Drew Brees' weapons to throw at all these other guys. Now all these other guys become potential Michael Thomases. So, yeah, I think we'll get it together. Sean Payton, amazing coach. You know, I think he's fantastic. So, yeah, we'll be back. It's, you know what? We haven't, the Saints have not been 2-0 since 2013.
Ah, you were listening to the same stats I was the other night. Yep.
Yeah. Look at the seasons we've been having. So, you know what? No sweat. I love what Gruden has been doing with the Raiders. And Waller was one of my secret fantasy picks last year. And boy, did he tear us up this year.
There
so.
You go, man. There you go. All right. And then, you know, circling back, you mentioned you got 6 wins this season. I'm noticing you are 2 wins away from the magic 100 on the career. Are we going to get those? Are we going to get to 100 in 2020? What do you think?
Geez. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm definitely going to shoot for it. I got some big tournaments coming up. I'm actually Grandmaster eligible, so I haven't dipped my toe into that water yet, although maybe for a Texas State Championship, you know, I might give a shot there. There's some great players that are going to be playing in that division there. But yeah, you know, it's they don't count doubles wins, which is always a little like, because I've got a bunch of those, including some world titles. But yeah, 100 PDGA professional wins. That's a pretty exciting check out there. And that's going to lead into as well. I'm in the 2020 Texas Disc Golf Hall of Fame class. So
nice. Congrats. Yeah, I'm very exciting.
Thank you. I'm very proud of that achievement. And, you know, during the quarantine time, I actually installed my 18th permanent course right here in Texas. So, yeah, that was another good bright spot on this otherwise kind of weird year.
Love it. Hey, I know I said 2 more questions, but I really meant 3 because I got 1 more for you. You know, okay, how many world putting titles you got? 5? 4? 5?
I got 5 of those, yeah.
5, that's what I thought. Okay, so obviously we got a lot of new players coming in the sport, and we got people listening to this show who need to work on their putting. I personally do not work on my putting enough because if I'm being 100% honest, I get a little bored with it. So what do you got for a good tip for people to, you know, enhance their putting practice and maybe see some better results on the course from a 5-time world putting champion?
Yeah. No, you hit it right on the head there. I mean, practice should never be tedious or boring. There are days where you don't want to do it. And some of those days when you really don't want to do it, it's okay. Take a day off. You need to have your mind and body present to make the gains that you're looking for in practice. So I always tell people, you know, once you kind of got a set a group of activities that revolve around a practice, you know, you can get a quality practice in 20 minutes. So don't think you have to sit out there for an hour and just pound putts. You know, practice with purpose and make it fun. You know, I always like to start out inside the circle where all the, you know, real important putts happen, and you know, go north, south, east, west, and get the different wind directions and different aspects in, and that's really the proving ground. And then maybe, you know, one day I'll work on straddles as the extra component, or one day I'll work on some walkthrough style of putts, or some Anheuser or Heiser style of putts, something different each time, keeps it fresh. And then, you know, play some games with yourselves. Here's one of my favorite games here that I use as a kind of an ender, because I'm a big fan of having a routine. You know, just like in all sports, you've got to have a routine, just like you do for a free throw. The putt is a free throw in disc golf, especially inside the 10-meter circle. So, you know, I'll take 6 discs and I'll throw them out for 3 different sets. So 6 times 3, it's a round of 18. These discs are scattered all over the place, and I take my mini out and I putt each one going through the routine like it is a separate birdie putt. So I've got 18 birdie putts, and maybe that day, if it's a beautiful day, maybe I'll say, hey, I need to get 12 of the 18 to get first place. Or if it's windy, maybe I'll set my expectations a little lower, but I want to make sure that I concentrate on each one purely from the standpoint of game time mode. So, and it's fun.
Yeah.
So have some fun. Practice should be fun.
All right, game time. Perfect. Well, hey, Jay, thanks again for the time, man. And again, for anyone who's listening who wants to donate to Chains for Charity, you can head to events.discgolfunited.com/chainsforcharity2020, or just go to Facebook, type in Chains for Charity, and you'll be good to go. So, hey, can we get one more Yeti call to close this out?
I'm going to give you a Yeti call. I'm going to tell you a couple other ways that you can support
Oh,
Edge.
for sure. Let's do it.
You can always, through PayPal, donations at edgediscgolf.org. Any amount goes right into the general coffers. A great way that people have been raising money lately is Facebook birthdays. So you just use Edge as one of your 501c3s and have your friends and family donate to a cause that you're behind. We just had Matt LaCourte out of Pennsylvania raised $400. Wilbur Wallace raised a couple hundred dollars for his birthday. But that's a great way as well. Amazon Smile. Get involved with Chains for Charity though, and together we're going to keep on pushing this wave forward. And it all starts with the foundation, and the foundation is our kids. And in the schools, youth camps, church groups, all of those. So let's get behind Edge, and Edge is going to keep pushing this thing forward for everything that we want to achieve in the future. That deserves a taco.
Perfect. All right. Hey, that was Jay Yeti Redding. Thanks for the time, and we will catch up with you soon. We'll be back here in just a moment on PDJ Radio. All right, we are back. Thank you again to Jay Redding. Always good to catch up with him. And man, some good putting tips, Sarah. I kind of want to go out to the practice basket now and see if I can do my best Yeti because that dude's good at putting.
He
What do we
sure
got
is.
for the Birdie Fuel Hot Rounds this week, Sarah?
They're so hot again. I'm blown away every week by the women's round, especially. But looking at the men's, it's pretty insane as well. But most of mine were from various events. So we will start with Jessica Wu.
Yeah, there weren't any real big like
Yeah, everyone was kind
stops
of
this week.
spread all over the place. But Jessica Wiese played in the Disc Golf Pro Tour Silver Series Main State Championships, and she shot a 977 her first round and ended up taking second place at that event. Valerie Mondajano played in the 2020 Texas Women's Championships. She shot a 980 her third round to take first place. I saw that Alexis took second place. I don't remember what the stroke difference was between them, but they're still battling it out in Texas. Pretty cool. Melody Wobble. Did I say her last name
I think
right?
it's Weibel.
Weibel? Okay, I was close. She shot a 982, her second round to place first at the President's Cup. And that must have
Not
been
that
out.
President's Cup. It's not the one in Europe.
No. It was out in Corvallis, Oregon.
Yeah, look, that's good. I haven't seen Melody playing in a long time.
I haven't either. I was actually pretty shocked to see her name on the list, but
No, she's played
she's a
three tournaments this year,
Okay.
all in the in that area, it looks like.
Two more than me, and she's a great player, so I'm not surprised that she's on the list. Just was
Yeah, no,
surprised
she
to see
just
her name in
kind of dropped
general.
off the tour scene in the
Yeah,
last couple of years.
And then Sarah Hokum played in the Maine State Championships as well. There's some great footage that came out of that event. I got to watch a round or two.
Yeah, it's over on the Disc Golf Pro Tour channel, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, and she shot a 990 her third round to take first place at that event,
Yeah,
and
comeback
then
win for her.
yeah. And then Holly Finley with the hottest round of the weekend. She played in the Stafford Open in New Jersey. And that was a 994, her first round. And she unfortunately ended up finishing in third place. But yeah,
But got
Missy
the
Gannon.
hottest round of the weekend.
Yeah, Missy Gannon actually ended up finishing that event in first place and Lisa Fekus in second. So
Nice. Oh yeah, that's a good
yeah.
field there. All right, on the MPO side, I just want it to be known that the lowest round that we are going to say is 1070.
That's why I was shocked when I saw the MBO rounds this week.
That's wild. So,
Yeah.
with a 1070 out at the Basket Bashers presents the Down East Players Cup in Greenville, North Carolina. Oh, this was an A tier. Wow. It was Ricky Wysocki with a 1070 rated opening round to win that tournament. Very nicely done, Mr. Wysocki. Chris Dickerson. We know Chris Dickerson. We love Chris Dickerson. He shot a 1071 at the 12th annual Madisonville Open, sponsored by Dynamic Discs. This one was also an A tier out in Madisonville, Kentucky, And that was his 1071 to open the tournament. He won that one. Nicely done. We've got Adam Hammes at the PDGC 2020 Arizona State Championships. I'm guessing that was in Arizona. That was his 1074 rated second round, and he took second place. Also shooting a 1074 was Mr. Andrew Fish, the People's Champion. This was out at the Stafford Open. It was his first round, and he also came in second place. Anders Sward over at the Vastervik Open 2 Alviken DGB in Vastervik, Sweden. He shot a 1076 rated opening round to win that tournament. And our last and hottest rated round of the weekend, holy cow, 1104.
Right.
For Mr. Scott Withers at that same President's Cup tournament. That one is going to win that gentleman the event. That was a 39 on a par 55.
Wow.
Final round, nicely done. That's got to be the highest rated round of Scott Withers' career, I would think. I'm going to double check that. Scott Withers just like, dude, he's like top two or three on my list of people who, you know, if they toured more consistently, would wreck shop.
Yeah, I wonder why he doesn't.
Yeah, that's the highest rated round of his career. I don't know exactly. I'm not too familiar with him personally. I would guess he probably has a job or something. I know, you know, there's here's what I want. I want a mini tournament or a mini tour of the, you know, the best non-tour players.
Yes. Andrew Fish.
Scott Withers. Scott Withers. I think like at this point in time, you probably got to throw Josh Anthon on that list. Cause yeah. I don't think he's really been properly touring. There
what about
are so
Dan,
many.
Dan
so
Hastings.
Many oh, Dan Hastings. Definitely. Yep. There's a lot. There's truly a lot, but like it would be really interesting. I would like to watch some kind of like showdown.
I'd pay to see that.
Maybe it's like a doubles kind of thing or I don't know. Like they play those four guys play against four touring guys. I don't know. I'm just some spitballing here. But either way, always like seeing really, really strong rounds out of those guys. So nicely done to both Fish and Scott Withers this week. In the Birdie Fuel Coffee Hot Rounds, they were presented by Birdie Fuel Coffee. You can go to birdiefuelcoffee.com. Use the code PDJRadio at checkout. Get 10% off your order. Sarah, are you drinking? I'm going to guess what you're drinking today. You are drinking the Pond Diver Cold Brew.
No, I was drinking the Sarah Hookum Sidearm Special. It felt like it hit the spot today. I was also sporting my new Birdie Fuel Coffee hat that Keith over at Birdie Fuel Coffee sent me. Thank you so much,
what?
Keith.
Where's my hat?
He reached out saying that he wanted to thank us for, you know, the partnership on the show, and he offered coffee, and I told him that Sean doesn't drink coffee, so I ordered a giant box last time, and I still have so much of it left, so I was like, it's gonna take me a while to get through all of this, so
man,
I opted for a hat instead, but you should definitely hit him up.
Thanks for including me on this message, Sarah. I appreciate it.
We're very active on Instagram together. We're like constantly shouting each other out, so the lines of communication are open. Don't take it personally.
I only take it slightly personally. All right, 2021 schedule came out this week. We've got the PDGA Majors, Elite Series, Euro Tour, all of this out. It's on the front page of PDGA.com right now. Quick and dirty version. National Tour from 2020 that was canceled. Basically, all those events just rolled over to 2021. So no change there. Texas State Championships. Glass Blown Open, Santa Cruz Masters Cup, Beaver State Fling, Music City Open, and Delaware Disc Golf Challenge, yep. Except I transposed those in the order. They are all going to be back on the tour. Very excited for those. And then almost all of the Disc Golf Pro Tour is the same as well, with the exception of the first tournament of the season. Traditionally has been the Memorial on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. It is now going to be the Las Vegas Challenge. So the Las Vegas Challenge, which had been on the national tour and then was not on either tour last year, will now be on the Disc Golf Pro Tour to start off the season on February 25th through 28th. Still taking place at Wild Horse. So, you know, new, I mean, a new but not really new start to the season, and my bet is right after that the Memorial will still be in A tier with some coverage. It just won't be technically on a tour. So that's really the only big shakeup I see in the schedule. There are several Euro Tour events which I'm excited about. We've got the Crocodile Open, the Alutaguse, if I'm saying that right, Open. I'm sorry if I'm not. That's over in Estonia. So basically, we've got Euro Tour events in Denmark, Estonia, Austria, Croatia. Oh, man. The Tuni in Finland is not technically. Oh no, that's actually a Euro Tour this year. Awesome. The PCS Sula Open in Norway. I mean, we're hitting up all of the European hotspots with the Euro Tour this year. So that's going to be really exciting. I'm hoping that we'll get some good coverage from over there because everybody and their mother in disc golf right now knows how strong the European players are. There is a really nice stretch for people who want to go to the European Open. There's the Sula Open in Norway, and then the European Open in Nokia, Finland, and then the Estonian Open just across the Baltic Sea, I think, in Estonia. And that's in like a bang, bang, bang 3-week span. So you could have yourself a nice little Euro trip over there if you wanted.
What a time to move to Europe.
I know, right? Might need to happen. Sarah, any quick thoughts on the schedule before we talk about the big dogs, the majors?
I don't want to do any overpromising here, but I've already, if you know me, you know I'm obsessed with Google Docs and Drive and all of those things. And I've already created my own little like wish list tour.
So it's got to have West Coast on it, right?
No, well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. So here is my wish list tour. So I basically have chosen one big event per month. And because I've got all this PTO that I'm rolling over from this year, and I actually start accruing PTO at 4 weeks rate next year.
Ooh.
For my 4-year anniversary starting in February, that means I get even more hours. But here's my wish list. So Texas States, have not played that. Jonesboro, okay. I've played it once, so that's April. May, Masters Cup, that's okay. Where my in-laws live about 45 minutes, so
yep.
I'd have a place to stay with Sean. Worlds, which I was planning on playing this year. The Preserve Championship.
Okay.
Idlewild. Delaware Disc Golf Challenge, which is close to my family. Music City Open, duh. And then up in the air, obviously, Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship.
Okay, so you are... Okay, so I have questions.
Okay. So do my dogs. They're all barking right now.
I hear them. That's fine. I have questions. Number one, Masters Cup over U.S. Women's Championship. 1 week apart and like 100 miles apart.
Yes. Mostly because of the in-law situation. I have not seen them in 3 years.
That sounds great to me. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
They don't listen to the show, but I agree.
You're okay with it too?
But I've got to put in my time. You know how those things go. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go, no, here's what you do. You go and you go out for U.S. Women's, and then I guess you'd have to do extra PTO. I was going to say you go out and do U.S. Women's and then go to Santa Cruz.
It's a possibility. We just have to see. I have not gone in and obsessively put in like how many hours I would need to take for each one.
If I were making your schedule, Sarah, I personally would take out one of those other events that you've already played.
Well, some of them are driving distance. Some of them are driving distance. So easy to get. Like Jonesboro's 5 hours, Idlewild's 5 hours, Delaware's where my family is. This is still in flux. Like I said, very tentative. Who the heck knows what's going to happen in 2021.
That's right. Who knows if we're going to be able to travel.
This is just a wish list, but
no, that sounds like a good list. I'm happy to hear you're plotting out one a month. I think that'll be good.
Yeah.
We did not talk about the majors, so let's talk about the majors. College Disc Golf National Championship is back on for April in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And I'm just going straight down the list here, people. Some are pro, some are AMs. So just so you know. U.S. Women's Championship, we just talked about that. That is going to be May 21st through 23rd up in Northern California. U.S. Amateur Championship back in Milford, Michigan, first weekend of June. We've got Pro Worlds back in Ogden, Utah. That is going to be June 22nd through 26th. I believe that's maybe 1 week later than it was supposed to be this year, but right around the same schedule. Junior Worlds in Emporia, Kansas, July 7th through 10th. European Open in Nokia, Finland, July 14th through 18th. Masters Worlds in your neck of the woods, Sarah, Johnson City, Tennessee, in early August. Am Worlds, I hope you pack your ice packs and camelbacks and all kinds of things, because that's going to be mid to late August in Orlando, Florida. So, oh, and then we have the Tim Selinski U.S. Masters Disc Golf Championship in September, and obviously the USDGC to close out the year. So the schedule, again, is up over at pdga.com. And then obviously with the release of the schedule also comes the release of the A-tier request form. So if you want to run yourself an A-tier this year, go fill it out. Get yourself on the schedule. I know several people had to cancel their A-tiers this year, so man, let's get them back on track in hopefully a relatively normal 2021. So, again, all that information is over at pgga.com. Sarah, I believe we're having trouble coming up with runner layups today. Like, what the heck?
I don't know. Well, my brain isn't functioning at full capacity. and I'm trying to be creative and I just can't do it. All I can think about is like chunky versus smooth peanut butter, because Sean and I had an argument about it.
Didn't we have that one already?
Oh, we did. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we did that one. And if we didn't, then it's chunky lay it up. Yeah, or chunky run it all day. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we definitely talked about that one.
Yeah.
What about like jam and preserves? Are they the same thing?
I would say, wait, jam and preserves or jelly?
All three.
I would say the jelly is like the simple man's version of like preserves. To me, just reminds
preserves
me of my grand.
Preserves it's like, are fancy.
Yeah, they're fancy. They remind me of my grandparents. They've got chunks of fruit. You can actually distinguish like what fruit you're eating or detect what fruit you're eating. They've got like, you know, chunks of strawberries and seeds and things like that. And they're usually in little fancy glasses.
Ooh, I got one. I just came up with one.
Ooh, okay. Yay.
Okay, runner layup, tomato is a fruit.
Doesn't science say that, yes, indeed, it is a fruit because it has
Sarah, seeds? Does science say anything anymore? No, I'm kidding, people. I believe in science.
I believe in
science.
That was
a joke.
I believe in science, so yes, it is a fruit.
Yeah, I think it's also a fruit. But then don't you feel like mildly less healthy when you put a fruit in salad? Like, because putting a fruit on something by nature, to me, makes it sweeter and less healthy, right? Because you're putting in more sugar on stuff.
I mean, tomatoes have very minimum amounts of sugar, and they're actually the only vegetable that we're growing right now. We've got tiny little grape tomatoes. I can see them from where I'm standing.
That's what I put on my salad, so you can
I need to go
some.
Pick them. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll make the trip.
That was an easy one.
What was that? That was an easy one?
That was an easy one, yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't argue with science, Sarah.
No, you really can't.
Try as you might. People, you can't argue with science. So, all right. Well, hey, I think we'll just wrap the show there then. If we don't have a good run or lay up, then there's no sense forcing the issue. But listeners, if you've got any, send us some radio@pdga.com. And actually, we can't end the show because we do need to talk briefly about the Music City Open, Sarah.
Yes.
You've got some homies in town. And what's the word? Give us the lowdown.
Yeah, so as everyone knows, Music City Open was supposed to be a national tour stop this year, and it was going to be at a temporary location, a course that Sean, my husband, was actually designing along with the Music City Disc Golf Club, and it was looking fabulous, and then COVID happened, so it, of course, the event got downgraded to an A tier, and they're using what I think is the best course in Nashville for the pro side of the event, which is Cedar Hill Disc Golf Course.
Nice.
Yeah. So this course is, it's got a little bit of elevation change. I would probably categorize it as wooded. I would say there's like, I wouldn't even say there's an open hole. Most of the holes are throwing a tunnel off of the tee, I would say. We've got a pretty good field. There are 148 men. The highest rated dude that's showing up is Chris Dickerson, followed by Heimberg, Gerthy, LeCastro, Cole Glazer, Emerson Keith's going to be here, Matt Oram, Austin Hannum, lots and lots of people. Man, Johnny McRae's going to be here.
Yeah, that's a good field.
It's actually...
Do we know if there's coverage?
Yes, there is coverage.
It looks like Gatekeeper on MPO Lead, Ace Run Pro on MPO Chase, and Howard Disc Golf on FPO Lead.
There you go. All right. But anyway, so the women's field is 23 deep. We've got everybody
from...
That's
a good-sized women's field for not a proper tour stop.
Yeah, and a number... There's a few of us that dropped out, of course, but yeah, I've got Katrina Allen, Jessica Weiss, Lisa Fakus, Ellen Widboom, Holly Finley. Yeah, it's going to be pretty fun, I think. So it's Friday through Sunday, one round a day. It looks like the men will tee off in the morning and the women in the afternoon. No spectators, unfortunately, but... caddies are allowed, so I'll be out there either caddying or spotting, and it's supposed to be a beautiful weekend.
Can I just say props to Music City Disc Golf Club, because oftentimes, and this is no knock, A tiers, it's harder to raise, you know, it's not a big event, it's the money only goes so far, but oftentimes with an A tier, if you're getting video coverage, it's only of the MPO lead card. They also are having FPO lead card and MPO chase card. We've got three cards of coverage at an A tier here, people. Like,
oh yeah,
that's legit.
Music City Club does it up right.
Well,
Will
and
McCaskill
just...
and his team are legit. I mean, also you have to consider that they were preparing for this being an NT, so they kind of had all their ducks in a row as far as
I mean, like, that's, you know, that would have been. I'm happy that they went and like took care of their own, because basically that would have been, you know, Jomez Central Coast Gatekeeper, and that's not the lineup for this, and they went and still locked it down on their own. So I'm really impressed by that, and you know, especially given the conversation we had on the show last week, in, you know, how women are often treated in disc golf, it's just very encouraging to see a non-tour stop add women's coverage and be able to do that. So
for sure.
Really good stuff there. And by the way, Sarah, we did have some good feedback last week on the conversation we had on sexism in disc golf. And I just wanted to thank the listeners who sent us feedback. You know, we're not going to read all of it on the show. I think that'll probably get us a little too far down the rabbit hole. But clearly, it's something. I was encouraged by the response, because for the most part, it was positive and people wanted us to talk about it, because it's something that needs to be addressed. So thank you if you sent us some feedback on that. You know, stuff like that helps us kind of steer the direction of the show and know what people want to hear about. So you know, this issue isn't going away overnight. I'm sure we'll have some more conversations on it, but thank you again for sending us your thoughts. So all right, now I think we can wrap the show, Sarah. did I forget anything?
I don't think so. You have picked up all of the pieces from the things that I have forgotten throughout the show, so I appreciate that. I hope to be back to 100% in a week or two. But
it's all good.
I'm going to do another self-promoting shout-out. We're doing a subscriber giveaways for our new disc golf YouTube channel, Sinclair Disc Golf, and we're going to be doing giveaways of signed discs from Katrina Allen, Austin Hannum, Garrett Gerthy, Jessica Weiss, Holly Finley, and Ellen Widboom, when we hit 250, 500, and 1,000 subscribers. So if you want to get in on that, go over to our YouTube page, Sinclair Disc Golf. Well, first you've got to go to my Instagram post, sarah.hungryforlife. Find the post, it's super obvious, you'll see it. And then tag two friends, head over and subscribe to our channel.
All right, 220 subs is what I'm seeing on this
end. Yep, we're at 220.
Only three videos, Sarah. I really expect more out of you guys at this point.
Hey, we only launched it 3 weeks ago. We're doing one per week.
It was a joke.
I know. And
big putts going down.
That's right. Big putts going down at Sinclair Family Farm. And the next video, I'll tell you. So remember I said at the top of the show that we went out and played Cedar Hill, and I wasn't sure if I could get through the entire round. So Sean and I decided to play doubles. And our goal was to see if we could get a course record at Cedar Hill. Well, after about the third or fourth hole, we were like, there's ain't no records happening during this round. Like, both of us were just not doing very well. And so it ended up just being like, it may look like we're throwing the round on purpose. Like, that's how bad some of the shots were. And if you've ever seen him play, you know that he's like super legit and I can hold my own. And it ended up just being a very, very fun doubles round. and very funny. And it was just good to be out in nature throwing discs. So we filmed that, and that's actually what we're releasing early next week. So
awesome.
Yeah. we'll allow you to see the course from a different side. If you're interested in seeing what Cedar Hill is all about.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of videos, one more thing I do want to point people in the direction of, Sarah. I don't know if you got to see this video, but for some reason, KJ Naibo, 12, 13, 14, 15, however many time Danish champion. It's either 12 or 13. I did lose track. did a video with a Danish television station.
Okay.
Where he is throwing massive dinner plates, like 650-gram ceramic dinner plates.
What?
Into a pyramid of open dishwashers. And it's the content that I always needed, but never knew that I did. And it's great.
I will you be checking that it. Out
KJ,
immediately.
KJ Naibo shared it on his Facebook page.
Okay.
It's That's phenomenally entertaining. There's no subtitles. It's all in Danish, but man, is it's entertaining. I watched the whole thing. So
it doesn't sound like something like that needs subtitles, honestly.
No, it really doesn't. You get the point. You get the point of exactly what they're doing. They're throwing dishes into dishwashers, and there's lots of breaking and joviality.
I'm looking at the thumbnail for this right now, and it just looks so satisfying, especially with how much I hate loading and unloading the dishwasher and frisbees.
Yeah, this is awesome. Although I fear repeat. That KJ was probably very sore after this.
Yeah, probably.
Those are heavy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that'll do it now. I think
run
we'll be
it,
done for
Run
the
it
show.
Or lay up. Oh, I just came up with a run it or lay up.
Let's do it real fast.
throwing 650-gram dinner plates into a dishwasher.
I would do like one or two of them, but like the amount that KJ did laying that up all day, because I wouldn't be able to lift my arm for a week.
I think I would have to lay it, like, physically lay it up, literally lay it up. I'm not sure I could, just looking at the distance that he's spanning. What is that? What would you say? Like 50, 60 feet?
It's like 40, 50 feet, but yeah, maybe 60 feet. But it's interesting. If you watch the video, like you can see, it takes him a few throws to really figure out what technique he needs to do. At first he tries to throw like a couple hyzers and he just can't get it there. He ends up having to like throw like Nico LaCastro forced Anheuser's every shot.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
But it works. It's awesome. Go watch it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So. All right, that is going to do it for the show this week, Sarah. I hope you feel better. Have fun at Music City this weekend, and we'll catch up next week, yeah?
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, cool. For Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. This was PDJ Radio. Thanks for listening. Be good to each other, and we'll catch you next week.